For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The NFL back tonight. College football, we're going on week two, but really it's week three because we have to do the dumb thing about calling it week zero. That's just dumb. That's just bad branding. Now, with that being said, it's basically week three of college football to talk about the return of Ohio State, Will Howard's debut, and the full slate of great games in college football. We welcome on one of our favorite tried and true guests on Afternoon Drive, decade run, and the great Pete Futek of College Football News now joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Pete, welcome to the show.
And when do I get a T-shirt or something for this? I should be have like a 10-year anniversary, like, you know, like a cap or something like that.
Would you settle for like a henna tattoo?
Oh yeah, or like a beer cozy or something. Or I'm good. Basically everything I wear and everything I have has been given to me and like free from stuff. I've like that's just kind of how sports media people type of role. But first of all, so I live in the football world, obviously. I love the NFL, all things NFL. The fact that I didn't know David Bell was a Cleveland Brown probably should. I'm not going to say that I matter, but that probably should say Cleveland Browns will probably be okay without him. To your week zero thing that you mentioned, it drives me crazy that the polls and rankings this week are the week two polls, even though week two hasn't happened yet. And it's coming from it's just a semantics thing that every year has screwed me up, and it's the first year in 26 years of doing this that I actually got it right, and I'm on serve with getting the actual numbers right on the week in the polls and stuff like that up on the site.
Well, fortunately, the only team that would pertain to is Florida State, and they've taken themselves out of the running when it comes to polls. Will Howard's debut, I know it was against Akron, but did you see an upgrade in one game over Kyle McCord?
Oh, Kyle McCord looked kind of all right for Syracuse on Saturday. I was a college Kyle McCord apologist. My thought about everyone kind of forgets that he had the puck on his stick. You know, they were driving last year to beat Michigan and go be the number one seed in the college football playoff. He was all right. I think the number one problem with Kyle McCord and with Will Howard is they're not C.J. Stroud. And I think at this point, Buckeye fans are so used to all these great quarterbacks, and Stroud just took it up another level, and now he's the next big giant thing in the NFL, that, okay, they're not putting, a gajillion points up on the board, maybe like they used to. The 52 is all right, but two of those touchdowns are from the defense. But you don't need to have the high-powered stuff because the defense isn't going to allow more than 14 points a game, if that. So you want a steady veteran. You want a guy who's been around the block. I think it's like year six for him. He's going to be just fine.
I just got to say this. Kyle McCord was a product of the system. I think Will Howard's so much better.
You used to call him the Honda McCord.
I did. And not in a pot.
Product of the system. Aren't we all? That's a yes. I'm with you. I'm sorry. Go. By the way, I just walked by a kid with an Ohio State hat on here and, suburbs of Chicago. So that's a sign of something positive for you. I'm not sure what that means. But.
Well, you are in Big Ten country if you're in the suburbs of Chicago. Who doesn't go to a
Big
Ten school?
Or Seattle or L.A. or New York City.
That's sad but true. Jeremiah Smith, well, it started off a little slow, and then he reminded everyone why he's supposed to be so great. What are your takeaways with Jeremiah Smith? Can I get excited? Marvin Harrison Jr. level excitement with Jeremiah Smith?
Oh, sure. Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith, and the Jigba. Right down the line, Marvin Harrison Jr. I know everyone loved Harrison Jr. more than anyone. I kind of thought Wilson, some of these other guys were better. But, he's great. You're a factory now. That's what you can sell is that, look, come to Ohio State and you are going to catch a lot of passes and be a, multimillionaire NFL player if you're a talented wide receiver. Because you're right, I joked before, the system, does kind of matter, and certainly McCord was a part of that. But that was sort of part of it, though. In college football, I'm actually a believer in the whole system thing. As opposed to the NFL, where you absolutely have to have playmakers. You have to have guys who are going to, be the difference guys. in college, the system worked. Like, Iowa's my number one example of this. Everyone wants an offense on Iowa. Why? You don't need, it's working. You've got this great system where, you know, fine, you punt a million times a game, but you rely on the defense, you don't screw up on offense, and you do just enough to get by. Look at Wisconsin. They had a great system for 20 years. Now they go to this tippy-tappy little quick-hitting Phil Longo thing. Certainly didn't work against Western Michigan. We'll see how it works going forward. But I kind of don't think that's a knock necessarily, especially at a place like Ohio State where, look, defense wins. You know, you can win games on defense. You can win games on talent, and Ohio State's just got more talent than everyone else.
Pete, how is Texas-Michigan a noon kickoff and Ohio State-Western Michigan a 7:30 primetime kick?
Try, what's our afternoon game? I think we get South Carolina-Kentucky in the middle of the day.
Oof.
I don't know this. That's it. Obviously, that's the big game of the day. I mean, I guess, is Colorado, what is Colorado, Nebraska? I think ESPN probably wants Deion Sanders in the, I seem to think that they're primetime too, like literally and figuratively here. I think they're the night game too, aren't they? Or are they mid-afternoon?
Sounds right. Mostly because I'm not looking at the schedule right now.
Yeah. So I'm guessing that they want
7:30.
Prime.
Of, yeah.
Yeah. I'm guessing they wanted Deion in Colorado to watch that thing happen, you know, later on. They know everyone's going to tune in. But you're right. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But look, if this is the new world, and I kind of heard your little, you know, under the, you know, breath quirk about, you know, oh, well, Big Ten's now in Seattle and L.A. Well, now look at the lineup of games where the networks that have Big Ten, they go all day now. It is Big Ten after dark. It starts early, and you are locked into that network watching Big Ten games all day long. But, you know, let's see. This is going to get everyone in, and hopefully they lock you in. They're hoping that you get locked in all day and just don't leave the channel all day.
Have you seen some of the advantages of kind of what we're talking about, like the ACC having every coast represented, the 12-team playoff, Nick Saban on game day just talking about paying $20 million? Have you seen some of the ramifications of that within the first couple weeks?
A better overall product. Yeah, every team's got a quarterback and a backup quarterback. And, you know, that's the number one thing now as opposed to like 10 years ago is that, you know, everyone's got a transfer portal quarterback who can play. And so just the overall level of the quality, at least early on, even in week one, has been so much better, even though they're all blasting FCS teams. It's just a better game. I don't have a problem at all with the new alignment. In fact, I can talk to you guys. We're Big Ten here. I think, and no one will admit this to me, you know, prior, but I think the SEC completely screwed up. I think they completely face-planted in the whole expansion world by not going to grab West Coast teams, and I think they're going to regret it as soon as Alabama realizes how much Purdue and Northwestern are going to make over the next several years because the Big Ten is coast-to-coast. And look, it's going to be weird, but it's going to be fun. You know, look, USC plays Michigan next week. You know, I mean, you know, Oregon, you know, Ohio State is a bigger game now. It's just going to have a bigger overall feel. And really, you're not flying the plane necessarily, so what do you care if you have to fly 3 hours extra? It's fine. It's going to be fun for the fans. It's better overall games. And, yeah, this week kind of stinks when it comes to those big middle games. But, man, come the season, the SEC and Big Ten games and, you know, even the late-night ACC games with Stanford and Cal are going to take on a different tone. So, as a fan, I think it's actually a lot more fun, especially for the quality and the number of games that we're going to be getting.
Pete Futek, College Football News on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So Ohio State has Western Michigan, a 7:30 kick, as we've talked about. Is this a half step up in competition from Akron, a full step, two steps? How do you see this game as opposed to the Ohio State-Akron matchup week one?
Don't get anybody hurt. I mean, that's really it. I mean, just it's about timing. It's about giving you down. And just obviously your non-conference schedule is nothing this year. So really, it's you know, look at the first several games on the Ohio State slate. I mean, they put 52 up. I actually got the score actually right, 52-6 on that prediction. But so they're going to put up another 48-ish or so, 50. But really, it's just about establishing the dominance. And like I said before, I mean, last year you had a defense that didn't give up a thing all year. Michigan had a little bit of success, and that was about it. And now you've got just about everyone back, and you got maybe the best player in college football in Caleb Downs. And so that, the upgrade in the backfield, like you said, Howard is an upgrade over McCord, so he is a little bit better. So now you've got this team who I actually think is the best team in the country. But it's just don't get your main guys hurt. Get the timing down a little bit better and just kind of get that aura that every time out, like, you know, you're expected to go out there and win 45-3 if they even get points on the board. Kind of like Georgia. You know, that was the thing about the Georgia-Clemson game. It's crazy that Clemson probably might win the ACC championship and be in the college football playoff, and it was crazy how it wasn't surprising that Georgia just hammered them. It's Georgia, it's Ohio State, and it's everybody else this year.
Is Dabo just never going to use the portal? Like, is Clemson football basically done? What do they do there?
I don't know. You know, I there is a part of me that kind of believes that there's something to that, to be the complete opposite and to say, hey, look, we're a family here at Clemson. You're not looking over your shoulder. Don't worry. You can, you know, we're going to make a mistake. You're going to grow into the system. You're going to, you know, we're going to build you up. We're going to do all the things you need to do. And again, they're still really good. It just they're just not at that high-end level that they were a few years back. I think it's more about the continuity and the coaching staff. One of the underappreciated parts about that run when they were rocking and rolling early in the college football playoff era is Dabo kept all his assistants together for like an ungodly amount of time. Then they lose Venables, then they start to lose other parts, and just it's just not been the same sort of family sort of thing. But you're right. I mean, look at him. It doesn't even have to be a really big thing. Last year, if they had Keon Coleman instead of Florida State, they're probably in the mix for the college football playoff. And 2 years ago, they were a cornerback away from being in the college football playoff. Last year, if they almost literally didn't drag the kid off a couch to kick a field goal against Florida State, they win that game. So they're close, and that's what the transfer portal is. There's a way to do this where if you're an Ohio State, if you're a big-time program, you get the final pieces of the puzzle. That's what Michigan did a great job with on its offensive line. They had the guys. They just get that one or two extra guys. You don't want to be the old all frosting, no cake thing like Colorado. And so you got to do it a little bit, but there are the extremes that don't seem to be working.
Pete, about 30 seconds, bud. Michigan versus Texas. Does Texas roll?
I think so, but I don't know about roll. I just don't think the Michigan offense is good enough. Certainly the quarterback rotation is a problem. The Texas speed and defense is going to be a problem. I think it's going to be low scoring. I think the Michigan defense is still just as good as, you know, not as good as last year, but not far off. I'm just not – I was never really bought into J.J. McCarthy, but certainly I don't think the quarterback situation is going to be strong enough to pull this off.
Pete, great stuff, man. Always great to have you back. So excited for college football to continue to be college football. Can't wait to see what happens with Ohio State. And your complimentary used T-shirt, it's 3X. Used T-shirt is in the mail.
God, give me about two more weeks of me not getting out away from my computer, and I'll need the 4X this time of year. So all good.
No judgment here. This is a safe place, Pete. Appreciate you, buddy.
There you guys.
Pete Futek on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. College football news. Great stuff with him there. I kind of like, even though the first 4 weeks of Ohio State's season are
not hard.
I was trying to Puff Piece City is where I was going to okay. go.
You got
I
more
was,
creative with I, it than I was
yeah,
going to.
I
broke it down to its simplest.
Well, I was struggling between completely disrespecting every team they
I
have to play.
I thought you were going to completely disrespect every team.
I'm pulling my punch.
I actually wanted you to swerve into completely disrespecting. But and then I threw you the life preserver and tried to save you a little bit.
I already felt bad for calling out Akron last week. Because they're like, I actually thought Joe Moorhead did some really fun stuff offensively that made that game more interesting within that first quarter. It was a pea shooter up against 10 Tommy guns. It wasn't going to work out.
Yeah, it was a knife at a gunfight. It wasn't going to work.
But like, I look at this Western Michigan, like I think the way this is setting up is I think that Western Michigan, okay, if Akron's a 2-win MAC team, I think Western Michigan's like a 7 or 8 win MAC team. And then you go to Marshall, and I think Marshall is a half step or a full step better than Western Michigan. And then you have Michigan State, who the most I can say about them this year is they play in the Big Ten.
I'm just trying to figure out the odds, because I did bet the Buckeyes for week one, by the way. They did not cover my 48.5 points.
I know. You know, it's
just
funny.
Just so you know.
I almost told people to stay away from the – at one point it was 50.5 points. Almost told people to stay away simply because – it is an extension of the, they view the first couple games as an extension of the preseason, and you can tell that by who they deploy and some of the things they try out and some of the things they try and work through. So I almost said it, but I was like, nah, that's going to sound negative, and somehow you're still going to end up sounding like you're slagging Akron. But I think this Western Michigan game, like,
at 38.5 points, am I in or am I out?
I think it's the sweet spot. I told today on the Sons of the Shoe podcast, which you should follow now.
Yeah.
I told Spencer, I was like, I think it's a stay away.
You can't give me every game as a stay away.
Well, no, but now I didn't.
At some point, you gotta put some stones down and figure it out.
Because I didn't do that with Akron, even though I wanted to.
Okay, so this is your one every few weeks now you get to pull it out.
This is my stay away.
Did you tell people to bet it, or did you say, what'd you say for week one?
No, I said stay. Well, I don't remember what I said for week one. What are you talking about?
Okay.
I don't think we had it on the record because it was Ohio State versus Akron.
That's a stay away.
No, it's an ignore. We're not referencing
the ignore for week one, and we got stay away for week two.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a stay away for week two because Western Michigan has a lot of experience.
Not going to happen?
Western Michigan has a lot of experience.
Okay.
And that's the kind of thing early in the season that you can hang with a team more than expected.
Will Howard, I thought, looked pretty decent, all things considered. I know his actual completion percentage and everything wasn't anything to write home about. I thought he actually looked pretty decent, though. I thought he showed more accuracy than I thought he was going to. A lot of drop passes there at the beginning, but I thought he was pretty accurate.
I dipped my toe in the water and sang, you know, it took a half, but I think Will Howard's already better than Kyle McCord. In the amount of... That's not true. And the box scores that I got of Kyle McCord's box score at Syracuse was really funny. But I'll be honest with you. I dipped my toe in the water to see where people were with it, but I also 100% believed it. The crispness, yeah. Will McCord's ball, or Will McCord, whoo, Freudian.
Tough combo.
Will Howard's ball placement was better in that game by far than anything I saw consistently from Kyle McCord.
No question.
And you add to it that one of the things that can help offset what I think is not a good offensive line. I think I am dangerously close to throwing that offensive line out. The thing that can help offset it is if you have a quarterback that can move and that can get up the field real quick. So there's another feather in the cap that McCord just didn't have. He was a stationary bike.
Have you guys dissected the Chip Kelly offense?
No, not really.
I didn't even get any good sideline shots of him.
You know, that's because he's up in the box.
Is he in the box?
And I'll be honest with you.
That explains it.
In the NFL, you get a lot of good shots from the coach's box. I wanted to make sure
we got that
properly.
Doing your Walenda dance over here.
But you don't do that. You don't get those from in college. You get the mile away. It's like the sideline to across sideline shot. And I'd like more shots from the coaching box.
You want the Ken Dorsey in Buffalo, I'm just going to just wreck this thing shot.
Yes. I think this is as far as we can take it without it turning into something else.
You did really good, though, I thought.
Thank you.
Especially for you in that respect.
Whoa!
Well, that's because you swerve into...
Okay, that's fair.
You know.
All right. By the way, Albert Breer's going to do tomorrow. Albert got caught up today. So more reaction on the way. And the big... Is it big news, David Bell getting waived by the Browns?
I think it is. I think it's pretty substantial news because I was trying to make the case that there was something they loved about the most recent two games of David Bell that clearly something had stuck. I mean, think about it. You draft him in the third round out of Purdue in the same year that Olave and Wilson were playing in the Big Ten, and he was the Big Ten receiver of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, all right, something's got to happen here, right? And then it took until the last two games we saw him play. Say what you want about the playoff game because it stunk. There's no denying it. That's the best David Bell game I've ever seen.
So, I actually don't think David Bell's bad. I don't know he's good, but I think that's the appropriate response for any non-elite wide receiver when you've been in quarterback limbo the last 2 years.
Well, and that's the other side of this, right? Is how do you accurately, if I was trying to be a defense attorney for David Bell, how do you accurately decide if he's any good when he's gone through a million quarterbacks in the previous two seasons, has had no consistency when it comes to the quarterback spot? How do you judge that?
Well, and also, this might sound like I'm giving a Peterlin pass to Andrew Berry.
I know you want to.
I see the value. But I'm not trying to do that. But Andrew Berry had the Anthony Schwartz, which is one of his worst busts because that dude was a receiver who couldn't catch. Yeah. Oh, hey, I'm going to have a tackle that can't block, but he's athletic. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a quarterback that can't throw. But he's athletic. But so, like, the Schwartz thing, just bad. But every other wide receiver they've drafted, can you expect, like, I understand that there are guys who just walk in and no matter what, they're great players. I do. But there are also guys that are a product of the quarterback you play with and the system you play with.
And yeah, we're talking top-end talent, it works that way, too.
Yes.
I mean, that's not even... Are we saying Donovan Peoples-Jones was who Donovan Peoples-Jones was because he was playing with Baker at the time? Is that what that is?
Wasn't that Jacoby?
I think you can make the case for Higgins.
That wasn't Jacoby. Well, Higgins was because of Baker. That I think. DPJ, wasn't he with Jacoby though?
I thought he crossed over both.
Well, yeah, but his best a 700 yard season. I think
that
was
with
Jacoby.
Yeah, yeah, but he did cross over both.
But I think it's a little catch 22 of the last 2 years where like. I don't think it's a coincidence that the best we saw from David Bell was when you at least had health and consistency at the quarterback spot late in the season, like you pointed out.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that's, if I'm trying to make the argument, now what I think what a lot of Browns fans are saying to themselves, it's a double conversation, right? The first part is Andrew Berry is now missed on two of his third round wide receiver selections that he took. The only one remaining is Cedric Tillman. And is that unfair? Because he's going to... If he clears waivers, he's coming right back to the Browns.
Yeah, I think that's the expectation.
Like, should we even talk about this? Like, he's off the team? Or is this one of those things like now he's on the practice squad? And if he's on the practice squad, we'll probably see him up here at some point anyway?
Well, and remember...
I don't want to speak like this is his funeral here.
Because he practiced today, and because he was on the roster, I think it was after 4 p.m. yesterday, he gets a game check. So his pay is not altered, in my understanding of how this works, because he's technically on the roster, even if he's not on the roster. So... The dude might actually make more money if he's going to the practice squad. He might get a little bump to go to the practice squad. Yeah, I don't think this is the end of David Bell. But I do think it tells you where they are with him.
They wouldn't give him a chance to go on waivers and clear waivers unless they understood. Because they know that he could potentially not come back.
Do you give...
That's a reality there.
You give Andrew Berry...
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Peterlin pass for drafts?
No. No. No, I don't. Thank you for asking.
No, I don't. So succinct. No.
It's like emphatic.
You treated it like it was the dumbest question you've ever heard.
I feel like so many people want to give him the Peterlin pass there. They want to let him off the hook for all his draft picks and everything. And I'm sorry, last I looked, you got one Pro Bowler out of 4 years worth of drafts.
I think that's an awful way of determining whether Andrew Berry can draft
or not. It's
not
the greatest, but think about the amount of people that can make a Pro Bowl.
Well,
that's not even like a high standard.
Okay, but but there's still so many little ins and outs there.
Like, if I was Andrew Berry, I'd be saying I don't ever get to pick in the first round, and that's why I don't have as many hits as people want. But yeah, I'd also turn around, and I don't know. It's been fine. He's been fine. So, he's nowhere close to great.
I mean, MJ Emerson, JOK, like these are the second round and laters. JOK, MJ Emerson. Grant Delpit.
And for every one of those, we got a Perrion Winfrey and a Cade York.
That's literally every GM in the NFL, though, right?
Yeah, but his hits aren't nearly the same as some of these other GMs.
And now I have to circle back to he hasn't had a first-rounder since Greg Newsom.
I think that would be the argument. But I can't sit here and tell you it's been great because I don't believe it to be great.
Well,
I also can't sit here and tell you that I expect him to be awesome at this point either with that.
I promise you I'm not trying to give him a Peterlin pass.
It sounds like you're ready to give him a pass.
But I think it's a lot more complicated than just read off the draft list because of the lack of first rounders and because they've had more success than they had. You know what I mean? Like, because the last 4 years, he's been so adept at trades specifically, he's been... I would say decent in free agency.
He also inherited a John Dorsey roster that gave you Myles Garrett, who won a Defensive Player of the Year, Denzel Ward, who's made three different Pro Bowls. There's a reason why you paid him $100 million. All these guys that we can talk about. Nick Chubb has been a for the entire stretch of Andrew Berry, there's been Nick Chubb.
Like, didn't inherit JOK or MJ Emerson. Like I that is, it's a very astute point that the best players have been the best players, but like without having a lot to work with, I think JOK is one of the five best linebackers in football.
In my opinion, it's more of a wash, because for every time we bring up someone like JOK, we can talk about him extending trading for Austin Hooper. We can talk about him extending even Wyatt Teller when you didn't really need to extend Jack Conklin. Like there's so many pluses and then so many minuses. I feel like it just kind of balances itself out. Well, oh, by the way, and I'm not trying to make this up. Let's rip on Andrew Berry 10 minutes here.
Sounds like it.
It really does. I really don't want it to be the case. But while also spending more money than anybody else in football in the previous 2 years.
Yeah, but I don't think that's his fault either.
No, like, again, the blessing. Like that's a congratulations. You got an owner with the money faucet turned on. Feel free to go ahead and spend like crazy. Well, that's a great thing.
But when Andrew Berry took over, also needed to give extensions to Miles, to Denzel, to Nick Chubb. And oh, by the way, make a $50 million decision on Baker, which then turned into Deshaun. And I don't think anybody in Cleveland believes it was 100% Andrew's decision to trade for Deshaun.
Wait, we're giving him credit for giving Myles Garrett a contract?
No. I'm saying
that's a no-brainer. You and I could have done that.
No, but I know, but my point is that yes, they've spent a lot of money, but I also think like the creativity of Andrew Berry's front office has allowed you to spend that, right? Like they have the two things you need to pull this off, to consistently kick the can down the road. You do need an owner who has good sense about him to spend the money. You need a front office with good sense to know how to pull that out so that at some point it doesn't bite you in the boot.
He's had a lot of advantages when it comes to the money. And I don't know if this is the last year of Deshaun Watson, I don't know that Jimmy Haslam is going to have the same fever that he has right now to show the other owners why he wants to win right away and why he needs to win, and he's going to win with Deshaun. I don't know. Maybe
you
the money
he's going on the cheap.
It might happen. I think Haslam's so desperate to win right now. It's why I love him as the owner in the moment.
I don't think he's more desperate than he was 4 years ago. He's been to the playoffs twice.
I think his checkbook is telling us that he's more desperate than he ever has been.
No, I think the checkbook,
which is a good thing. I'm not using desperate as a bad thing. I'm using it as a good thing. This is an incentive that you have.
Well, but I think Jimmy's done this every single year he's been here, whether they've been awful or whether they've been one of the seven best teams in the NFL.
They were 26th in spending, what was it, 5 years ago?
Okay, that's
like legitimately more money than anybody else in football.
You're talking about cap spending versus organizational spending. Yes. The man was paying three head coaches at a time.
I'm talking cap spending,
and
exclusively
also,
cap spending.
But the point is, that's not necessarily the adequate way to look at it.
It's an inherent advantage that Andrew Berry has over every other GM.
What are we arguing about again?
I think Andrew Berry and the amount of luxuries that he's been offered as a GM.
The Hawk Tua girl has a podcast coming out.
Get that money. Yeah, come on. She was late to the party. She's got to do it.
Can I tell you what it's called?
Spitball.
Talk Tua.
That's a funny name.
That's really funny.
That's a funny name.
I have no interest in hearing this woman talk about anything.
Talk Tua to me.
I might have to give the podcast a chance.
No, you will. No, there's no chance you will.
I like a 3 second
I
chance.
Promise
a 3,
you,
30 second chance.
It'll be TikTok to death.
Oh, it will be. Yeah. Okay. Just like the meme. That's how they get you. You get TikTok to death once, and then they just keep going back to that well.
At this point, I don't even hate it. I don't hate the hustle. I don't hate what it's become. I mean, at least I don't enjoy the content, but I don't hate what it's become.
No, she avoided the biggest pitfall, which is OnlyFans. This is an overwhelming success story.
How is that the biggest pitfall?
Because the biggest pitfall is somebody finds out, I have 15 minutes of fame because of something I said or something borderline suggestive, and then you end up on OnlyFans.
Yeah, but you might
judging.
Be the Cash Me Outside girl, where now you're worth like $50 million.
Yeah, I'll take being broke over that. That is not a success story. I understand financial. This is
financially, it's of course it's a success story.
Yeah, okay. As a human story, it's an absolute failure. That woman is a train wreck of a woman.
Now I learned where
person.
You draw the line.
Person. When I said woman twice, it sounded
You won't even acknowledge her gender? Is that what's going on here?
I guess I'm going to be the co-host on Talk To Her in about 30 seconds. she spelled bad baby with a B-H. You are objectively stupid.
If I'm not you're saying like, she's not stupid.
One,
I'm not going to argue the intelligence of Cash Me Outside Girl.
It's a dumb name. Bad baby. You're an adult woman.
Yeah, but Hawktua is all of a sudden a Mensa member. Okay.
She didn't coin herself.
I want to make sure I got
that.
This right. Yeah,
she
okay.
didn't coin herself.
Because yeah, she stayed off OnlyFans. All of a sudden, you know, she's Albert Einstein.
I just realized that what was meant to be that's a funny show name has turned into you defending Bad Baby and me defending Talk to a Girl.
Notice how I only call her Cash Me Outside Girl?
Yes.
Because I don't know
her
real name.
Because you feel ridiculous. Because you feel ridiculous.
I can't say, was it Bad? Is it Bad Baby?
I think so.
Yeah. I, for my mind, was thinking Bad Barbie for some reason. And I don't know.
That could also be your name.
You down the hall the other day, I don't know who you were talking to. You gave a response the other day. You quoted Barbie in the response. You're like, what's the Ken line with him being a 10? I might not.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, I said, I'm just Ken.
In a real conversation, you're like,
anywhere else, I'd be a 10.
And then walked out.
Yeah, I have three daughters, dude. Just wait for it. You've got one daughter. Just wait for it. You're going to be knee deep in Barbie inside like another year, and the things that you're going to quote, dude, I hate the show Fuller House. I've definitely quoted it because it's in there. It's all
I do
in
sing,
my house.
I sing Cocomelon songs.
Yep,
I do. I sing Cocomelon songs.
That's the gateway
songs.
Drug.
I like Cocomelon. They sing, they dance. It's not a bad deal. It gets a bad rap. I like it.
It's actively making you dumber.
So it's Hawk to a girl.
It's making. I don't know about that. She's played the Please. Game by the rules. Now you're turning me into a talk to a.
You are an apologist. A talk to
a
apologist.
I'm a talk to a apologist. And been since day one. I'll print the t-shirt in 3XT. And I will wear that t-shirt.
And then we'll send it to Pete Futek.
I'll send it after I've worn it for a year. Because I think that was what Pete was getting at. Is he was getting hand-me-down stuff. So it is week one. The Browns are back. This has nothing to do with Talk Tua, but J.W. Johnson was Talk Tua in the morning voice today. I tried. Thank you for your sympathy, Laugh.
As J.W. says, find a short pier and walk the length of it.
Yeah.
You dropped that in there at one point.
I will do that shortly there. But J.W. teased a dog pound captain for week one. Do we have that just yet? We'll get to it in just a minute here. Am I out of bounds for saying that because it's week one in a primetime game, the dog pound captain has to be, you got to hit a home run on this one because it's for double reasons.
Why would you be out of bounds for suggesting they got to really nail this dog pound captain?
Because it sounds ridiculous.
Will she come? Is she available to be she was in the flats a couple weekends ago. Could she do it?
I'm sure she's available for a flat fee. But here's J.W. Johnson on with the morning boys talking about this week's dog pound captain.
Can you tell us who the dog pound captain is going to be?
I will just tell you they will be, air quotes, rocking. How about that? So you have to think about it there.
It's MGK, right?
I have a new theory. MGK would be great. I think a lot of people would like that. I think people would like that. I think more people than not like MGK.
I mean, he seems like a bit of a weird knob, but sure.
He's a major celebrity, though.
He's from here.
Not as popular as Matthew McConaughey, according to some people. But
he got with Megan Kelly. He got with Megan Fox.
Yeah, he did.
I think that's enough for me. But okay, so you posed the theory in the pre-show that that's what you think JW would refer to as a rocker.
Yeah.
And ever since then, you've inceptioned me. I can't take it out of my brain.
I have a theory, Anthony Lima.
Okay.
Could it be Billy Joel or Rod Stewart? Because they're doing the concert coming up in a couple days after that, right? Is any one of them coming? Does Billy Joel get you excited as a dog pound captain? Or is it like, why are you here, Billy Joel? Why are you doing this?
I don't want to see anything other than this now. I want to see 157-year-old Rod Stewart with his little strut go out there.
Loving it. Rock star.
As he's like hunched Loving over because he's 99 years old.
Promos the concert coming up in like a few days after that, the game, and the way that they do.
And that cool kid that plays guitar, I want to hear the Stay With Me riff from his time in the Faces. And then I want him to like chug like a Pediasure.
All the geriatrics go crazy.
Before he smashes.
Insures for everyone.
Before he smashes the guitar so he doesn't break his own bones.
Break his own bones.
I think you might have found one that I would find amusing.
Listen,
I don't know.
I thought it was a lot more fun when Keith thought he said Rocket and then was going through Toledo Rockets that could potentially make an appearance. I thought that was...
There are a couple of them to choose that have played here. So.
Bruce Gradkowski.
When you said Kareem Hunt, I was like, you know what? Makes a lot of sense to me.
Which would you rather, the Toledo Rockets former player or a rockin' star that you guys just mentioned,
well,
Rod Stewart?
I want Kareem Hunt over Rod Stewart, I think.
No, I want Rod Stewart or Billy Joel simply for the hilarity of it.
They have no idea what's going on.
No, they're just going to walk out. They're going to be kind of confused. They're going to have a handler being like, it's okay, Billy. This is almost over.
Could rock stars, could they do that in such a bad way?
Billy Joel.
They're supposed to be great at that, the smashing the guitar.
Billy Joel, I think, could wail on a guitar.
Is smashing the guitar, is it run its course now? Now that we're kind of like...
No, not at all.
You know, it was a fun attempt. I think it's a good idea, but...
It is the easiest homer layup you can possibly... You could bring
You see
out.
How we're running out of people, though, already. We've only been doing it for a couple
There's
years.
There's 8
already,
billion people on the planet. I think we'll find somebody.
We're running out of people pretty quickly.
No, why? Because Billy Joel or Rod Stewart might do it?
Yes.
I think it's only growing, right? It started out with our hometown heroes, and now we grow to Billy Joel.
How do we feel about redoing people? We would have been thrilled
if Billy Joel did it.
Yeah, 3 years ago. Now we've upped the ante.
Well, no, I think he is the sign that the ante has been upped. Let's go with Andy. Theories on the Dog Pound Captain.
Two things. One, the Megyn Kelly, or actually the what was the other girl you met? Megyn Fox and MGK would be a great Megyn Kelly and MGK would be a great couple. That'd be kind of funny to see. But no, it's probably the Black Keys, man. Rockers. I don't know.
Andy, you just pandered to me specifically.
Yeah, I mean, that's your band.
Thank you, brother. Yes, I got my kids on that stuff, too. They love it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it was less cool when you said I got my kids on the stuff. Like, it made me feel really old when you said that, but I appreciate it nonetheless, Andy. Good stuff, buddy.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, Andy. Did you just get... They just got in the Hall of Fame, right?
The Keys?
Wrong thing?
Very wrong.
Very wrong thing. Didn't they just get celebrated for something?
JP just broke my ankles. Yep. Yeah, they just.
I'm just taking shots out here, guys.
They just celebrated canceling their tour.
Really?
They did.
So this is like the downest time of their careers?
I wouldn't be surprised if this was a relaunch of their career.
Oh yeah, hey, JW calls. I got something that'll save you guys.
Have you ever thought about
which Hall of Fame are you talking about?
I thought, well, maybe not the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I thought it was some Hall of Fame.
All right. Who wants to smash the guitar? Only one of you.
Wait, did you find a Hall of Fame that they just got into?
No, I'm just, maybe there's a backup one we were thinking of.
Oh, okay. I thought you Googled it and all of a sudden they're in like the Akron
Hall of
Fame.
Is there
like a
local Akron one or something?
And I'm like,
maybe?
Yes, they made it.
There is a day for everything.
I mean, they'll put anybody in that Hall of Fame.
I do think that there is a Hall of Fame for everything. The 5 at 5, next to 92.3 The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.